Howdy, everybody. No matter where you are, good to have you along for the ride. And this is an unusual one. It's a very different one for me. I'm more locked into the sciences, sort of hard science, than I am this sort of thing. But I've always been fascinated by it, these secret societies, these unusual organizations that are said to be. I've always, frankly, been somewhat in doubt about them, but I guess they exist. If the Ven exist and the Knights of the Temple and the rest of it, I've just never really looked into much of this. In a moment, we're going to look at the Da Vinci Code. I would assume by now most of you have seen that, and ask whether Jesus and Mary really did marry, with my guest, Philip Gardner. Stay right where you are. All right, back now to Philip Gardner. Philip, Heidi in Daytona Beach, Florida, referring to the Knights of the Temple, says, isn't it possible that they staged an artificial front to fool Philip, since they full well knew, you know, what his intent was from the beginning?
Oh, anything's possible. They have to do it 13 times a year, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. So again, you think it's nothing more than, as you described, a bunch of millionaires sort of helping each other out.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, I've described it before as a quasi kind of Templars, you know.
Yeah. All right. Now on to the Da Vinci Code. I saw that. What was your opinion of the movie?
Of the movie, I haven't seen the movie.
Okay, the book.
The book. I thought it was a kind of a mediocre. Fiction, because that's what it is. You know, at the end of the day, it's a fiction. As for the factual elements that it's supposedly based upon, I don't personally see any historical evidence for it. So that's my opinion on it.
Okay. And on whether Jesus and Mary really married?
I don't actually see personally much evidence for them being the people that we are told in the Bible. In literal form like that, no. Because, like I say, Jesus is based upon so many ancient myths, including solar deities, that it's difficult for me to actually pin him down as an actual real person in all of that.
No kidding. All right. It said in your bio, the one I read, that you're the author of Proof, Does God Exist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Let's go into that a little bit. It sounds as though you feel as though he may not exist. Is that sort of where your book goes?
Well, actually, the book, it's a fairly simple book, and all it does is outline all the evidence that everybody ever puts forward for these things, and a few other little bits. And then, it's not a cop-out or anything. It basically went to a jury and said, well, this is all the evidence that everybody gives us for God, and this is the evidence people give us against. Let's let the jury decide whether there's a God or not. And they voted. You know?
And how did they vote, Philip?
Well, they voted to say that there was a God.
That there was a God?
Yes, but not the God of any particular religion.
Not the God of any particular religion. All right. Is there any reasoning behind how they reached that conclusion?
Well, they kind of reached it because they said, well, there must be something, because we've no answer for how it all began. And many of them already had their own perception that there was a kind of universal mind anyway. And so, you know, the feeling came back from most of them is that the name God needs changing to something else. But they certainly didn't see God as being, you know, a bearded guy on a cloud.
Well, maybe not. but they came up with the conclusion that there is a creator.
Yeah.
Is that the way to put it?
Well, or an intelligence, yeah. But I mean, you know, their answer was that something must have created it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And what was the compelling evidence that you feel caused them to vote that way?
I don't know. I think it was probably accumulation. They just didn't see enough evidence to say that there wasn't, really. You know, their underlying belief systems or whatever it was from their own backgrounds just stated that there must be something that started it. And whether that's because we're a being that has a beginning and an end and therefore we cannot see something that goes on forever, we cannot perceive that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But their perception was...
And then something about the most powerful society revealed, the world's most powerful society revealed, the Shining Ones. Who are the Shining Ones? Are they real or do they just a bunch of millionaires helping each other?
Well, the Shining Ones, it's just been released, actually. Been rewritten by me and Gary. And what we do is we point out this enlightenment experience, basically, the Shining, which gives us the term, they gave themselves the term the Shining Ones, way back in Mesopotamia. So it's a very, very ancient thing. And that concept of the enlightenment has fed forward in time into the different religions and has been the progenitor of those religions.
Mm-hmm. And again, that experience that we talked about a little while ago, yes?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so there is a very powerful society based on this. I've never heard of them. I've never heard of any group called the Shining Ones. Where are they?
Well, it's in ancient times. That's the whole point. We're talking about the origin of religion. That's what the book is about.
The origin of all religion, you mean?
Well, yes.
That may well be. That may well be. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. As I mentioned, as I came into this segment with you, Philip, I'm pretty much of a hard science guy. I'm not into the kind of thing that you're into so much here. I think the snake business, the snake venom business, probably has some merit. As a matter of fact, I'm getting a lot of fast blasts of people who say, you know, my grandfather used to take snake heads and put them in a bottle of some kind of rum or something and drink, and there was some benefit to it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, where are we going with all this? You've done a lot of writing, and you've written a lot of books, and what have you uncovered that's solid that you know that you can tell us?
Apart from everything that I've already said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what more do you want to know? I mean, you know, we've discovered that in ancient times, there was a serpent call all over the world. That, to me, I think that's profound, because I'm not the first to discover it, but I'm the first one to actually come out and say it without any bias. In Victorian times, several historians actually discovered it, but unfortunately, their mouths were closed in many different ways, and so the history books that they wrote were very Christianized. So you have to be careful with what they say. And believing what they say. So I'm not the first, and we've got backing from many historians who say, well, yeah, they are everywhere. You go to Crete, we've got the Minoan serpent cult there. You go to Egypt, and you've got this Uraeus serpent coming out of the brow, and it's worshipped all over the place, from South America to even Australia. So the serpent is a really, really important figure in all of this.
And you believe that the value of serpent venom or serpents in general is very close now to being confirmed by modern science?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's beyond all doubt that it's been confirmed. There's no doubt about that, that it's been confirmed. It's just what the extent of that is. How much longer will that make you live? Well, you know, at the end of the day, boosting your immune system stops you catching things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. You know, if you catch a disease, chances are you'll shorten your life. And so boosting the immune system helps you fight off all the things which deplete the human body. So actually pinning down, well, it will make you live 25 years longer, it's impossible. But it's actual fact that it does boost the immune system.
I guess you've got a DVD and a book, Secrets of the Serpent, so it's not just a book, In Search of the Sacred Past, Secrets of the Serpent, is that correct?
Yeah, there's actually, for the Gnosis that's just come out, there's a DVD that's come out with that as well, which is just getting rave reviews, amazingly, from everybody, which is great. And we've got some really big American bands on there, like Marty Playground as well, playing music on it, and it's really come together fantastic, it really has. and Secrets of the Serpent, just to basically reiterate all of this to people and to say, look, go through all this serpent information all around the world and what it relates to. And so there's a book and DVD of that as well, yeah. So
okay. Have you yourself, Philip, come to the conclusion that there is no religion, you know, organized religion presently on Earth that is specifically correct, that there probably is a God, as your jury suggested, looking at the evidence, or some sort of overall organization or intelligence behind our being, but no specific religion? Is that come to be your personal belief?
Do you know what? I don't really... belief is a word that I really... I'm strongly against, because it means to be loved. So the only thing I really believe in is my wife and my kids. And I have opinions so that can alter according to evidence, just like you. You know, I go to the scientist and say, well, what do you think? And so my opinion at the moment is I don't think that any of the religions that I know about on this planet are right. No, I don't believe that at all. Or I'm not of the opinion that any of them are correct at all, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you say you've gone to scientists. So what scientists have you gone to, and what have they said?
Well, we went to scientists for the Serpent Grail, a few in America. I can't remember the names. I do apologize, Art. This is very late for me, and I've been traveling 24 hours to get to California as well. So, but I can't remember the names of the people, but it's all in the Serpent Grail. We outline... Oh. What the
all in the book, as it were. Okay, so you've been traveling 24 hours. You just landed Britain, or what?
I landed a day ago, but I really haven't caught up yet. Do you know what I mean? I'm completely jet-lagged. It took 24 hours.
So. Trust me, as somebody who's made 3 fast flights across the Pacific Ocean, I know exactly
what you
mean.
I appreciate that.
All of this also seems to boil down to the Kundalini experience, that unusual experience that none of us can seem to explain. You say there are some who believe that they have the ability now to explain it, who have dissected that experience and can consciously recall and put into words what that experience means and answer the questions that it provided in that instant of clarity.
Yes, there are people from the past that have done so and put it in their texts as well. You're familiar with Eliphas Levi?
I am not.
Oh, right. A lot of people hate Eliphas Levi, I think, a lot of the time, because they can't understand what he's saying. And that's one of the points, that he's either putting his writing in a kind of an obscure language on purpose, or he's putting it that way because he has no idea how else to put it. But he had the experience, beyond all doubt, and he said it is essentially different from real life. It has its scenery, its friends, its memories, and in that life one possesses without doubt faculties belonging to other forms and other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
One meets again loved beings whom one has never known on this earth. Those who are dead are seen alive again. One is carried along in the air, one walks on water, and he's going through all the different processes, and one believes in oneness. One has huge knowledge, etc. And he's trying to outline all the things and all the feelings that he had whilst in that experience. And you know, if there's a scientific truth behind this, if it is quantum entanglement, if that can be the thing that can explain it, then we ought to listen to what these people were saying about what they're experiencing in there. Because it may answer an awful lot of paranormal questions that we've got. And I'm not saying...
Absolutely, no question about it.
Here, yeah. And I'm not saying that Gnosis does that, because I don't want to sell this book to people on a false premise. This book doesn't do that. This book is about the psychology behind all of this and how it helps us as individuals to empower ourselves. But my question, you know, on your show is I think that this will explain a lot of the paranormal. If this is quantum entanglement, and that is an amazing science, then it will explain the other dimensional activity, ghosts maybe, even alien visitations in an awful lot of ways. So, you know, I think it's a real drive that I've got right now from this moment onwards with this new information. It's to use this information to go and find out.
Philip, have you ever had this experience yourself?
No, I've had mini ones. You know, I can't say to you that I have had this full-blown out-of-body experience, but I've had moments where I have sat there and I have just completely known. And within a second, it's gone. And it's felt so incredibly profound that you know exactly what I mean by that.
That's one, all right.
Yeah. You feel so profound that you just cannot say to anybody what it means.
So the real secret then of many of these societies may be being able to understand, remember, and relate what
Absolutely.
Really was in that experience.
That's
that
it. Yep, you said it so much better than I could have. Well done. That's exactly what I've been trying to put across in my.
I guess maybe I'm sort of on to what you're trying to say here.
Yeah,
I hope.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, Philip, it has been great having you here. I think that I've got a pretty good idea of what it is that you're talking about now. And I hope you do well with your publications. You've got, let's see, your book, The Serpent Grail. Is that the latest?
No, the latest, actually, Gnosis. That's come out yesterday.
Gnosis, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Serpent Grail was out last year. Gnosis has just come out with the book and the DVD.
Okay, so Gnosis would be the latest, both a book and a DVD.
Yeah.
What claim would you make about it? If somebody goes out and buys the book and the DVD, what claim would you make? What understanding would they come away with?
I think, you know, can I read you a review that was written? Because I think that really explains it.
Sure.
This is from a Gnostic society. And, that, you know, to basically ask for peer pressure to actually give this to Gnostics and say, what do you think?
Sure, go ahead.
They said, Gnosis is a refreshing creation of true spiritual teaching, as well as being a damn good read. Gardiner possesses that rare ability to weave history, mythology, and spiritual tradition into writing that is both understandable and enjoyable. And that was exactly what I was trying to do, to make it understandable for ordinary people.
Who wrote the review?
I don't have his name. It's the Gnostics website, www.gnostics.com.
Okay. All right. Well, you've absolutely given me, and I think the audience, something to think about here, particularly with this quantum entanglement. You know, that may be exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Apparently,
it's a fusion, isn't it? You know? That's what we're talking about.
Yes, and it may explain a very great deal of, as you point out, the paranormal, ghosts that people see, beings that sort of come and go and have the ability to do things that any normal mammal, for example, ought not do. Well, Bigfoot is a good example. That they're seen and then they're not seen. They just suddenly disappear. Craft in the air that are seen and then suddenly disappear. All these things, Philip, that may be from elsewhere, just cannot be explained in any other way. This may be one way to explain them. I wrote a book myself that tried to put all of this together. It never quite got to quantum entanglement, but that was a year when quantum entanglement really had not yet been discussed.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you rest. You've obviously had a very, very long time of it here trying to get adjusted. I know what those flights are like, Philip. And I'm going to thank you for being here, and I hope that people do go and buy your DVD and take a look at your book and see what they get out of it, because it is, I guess it's, you know, maybe with you I ought not use the word the God experience, but that's, for lack of a better word, that's what it is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I'm not saying I don't believe in God. I just don't believe in the God of the religions. You know, the God I perceive is a universal mind that's much, much, much different to what anybody else will perceive.
You, I'm sure, take a lot of heat for that, don't you?
Probably.
All right, Philip, thank you very, very much for being here this night. You have a good night, and we'll get together again someday. How about that?
That would be marvelous, Art. Thank you very much.
All right, good night, Philip.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, very best to you as well. All right, we're going to take the time with the balance of the program this night, I think, and go to open lines. How about that? Folks, so that means anything you want to talk about at all, anything that pops into your mind that you think the rest of the world, and it literally is the rest of the world listening, would be interested in, we're open for it. Open lines are always fun. I absolutely enjoy them because you never know what you're going to get. From Manila in the Philippines, 7,107 islands strong, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, everybody, it's open lines. Anything goes. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. That's been the basis of this program, actually, since it really began. We used to do almost all open lines. I don't know how many of you are listeners and can remember that long ago, but it was actually built on open lines, and guests at that time were a rarity. So that's exactly what we're going to do right now. So if you have something that you think the rest of the world, and it virtually is just about that, the rest of the world would be interested in, here we are. All right, open lines it is. Let's rock. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is George from Fostoria, Ohio.
Hello, George.
Last week you announced a private finding of the ingredients of the chemtrails. I'm a victim of Agent Orange already. When I heard this, all that went through my mind was more crimes against humanity. Someone's got to be accountable. Is there anybody like Linda Howe you could have investigate this? I mean, these people need to be indicted.
These people, and who would these people be?
I don't know, but there's got to be. Who tends to make money from this, Art, making people sick?
I imagine the whole industrial complex that we were warned about in the first place. Now, yeah, there were all kinds of terrible, just cancers and viruses and God, it was just metals, hard metals, heavy metals, that sort of thing. But you have to imagine that an awful lot of this is probably running around in our atmosphere anyway. I'm not saying that that would not be the specific ingredients in chemtrails. I have no idea. The latest story I've had on chemtrails is that people are not seeing as many of them as they once were. However, I would imagine if you took a sample of the air. Now, this was some weird kind of gel, sort of a sparkly gel, if you recall, that settled down on everything in this immediate area that contained this sort of thing. But I would bet, and this is just an idle kind of bet, that if you were to look at the ingredients on any dew-filled morning, in other words, dew that had sifted through the atmosphere, you would find all kinds of disagreeable things in it, very much the way, have you ever in school taken some normal tap water and simply, or mud puddle water is even better, and put that under a microscope and taken a look? It'll cause you not to want to drink water for days and days and days. I recall that. I wonder if you do. I wonder if there's anything to that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi there, Art.
Hello.
This is Ronnie. I'm calling from WHP in Pennsylvania.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you believe in angels, Art?
Do I believe in angels? I think I do.
Well, I have four of them in my house, and I'm not joking you. I can talk to these beings, and I asked them certain questions, and I jotted the answers down. They told me that they are from the one that guards me. I have one guarding my son, my husband, myself, and my pets, and they're from the Pleiades. The third star, there's three stars at the top of the Pleiades.
Doesn't that make them aliens as opposed to angels?
Well, they might be aliens, but they tell me they're angels. They say they have wings. They don't use any food, but they use oxygen.
Huh.
And they're from the bottom star in the constellation at the top of the Pleiades. And I did look at the Pleiades constellation, and I pointed to each star, and the one that, and they are as tall as a door. And when
okay,
I
pointed, let's try this. What questions did you ask that they answered? And
okay, well, I asked, how large are you? And they said, I said, are you as tall as a door? And my head pulled forward. It moved my head. And I asked, do you have mass and weight and form? And it said, mm-hmm. Yes. But they said they are invisible, and they're from the Pleiades, and they fly at the speed of light. And I asked, what's the atmosphere on your star? And they said, it's watery and misty. I said, do you have grass? They said, no. I said, do you have mountains? They said, yes. I said, are your mountains made of minerals? And they said, yes. I said, crystals? And it really shook my head forward. And I said, what color are the crystals? And I said, are they emerald green or blue or ruby red? And they kept shaking my head. And I said, are they the colors of the rainbow? And they really shook my head forward. I said, what color is your water up there? And they said, yellow. I said, do you have anything that lives in it? And I finally said, do you have any mammals that live in it? And they said, yes.
And how long have you been talking to these angels?
For years. No joke. They have two moons on this star, and they don't have a year as we know it. They have seasons, but they only have spring and summer.
Okay, and they have described themselves as angels, or is that your conclusion?
Well, I asked, are you an angel? And they said, yes. I said, are you an alien? And they said, yes. I said, an alien angel? They said, yes.
Okay.
I said, what are you here for? And they said, to help me.
So and said, have they really done that?
Yes. They find things for me. They guide me. If I'm lost, I can't get lost.
Okay, well, you can't beat that. Thank you very, very, very much for the call. And that does bring up something kind of interesting. What to us would be the difference between an angel and an alien? Hmm? Not very much, really, if you consider it. An angel and an alien, both would appear to us as magic or as... what's the right word? Ethereal beings of some sort. And I don't know that as humans, with no frame of reference whatsoever, that we would have the ability to delineate between an angel and an alien, particularly when they said, in essence, that they were both, right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How are you doing, Art, this evening?
I'm all right, sir.
All right. Art, I wanted to make a comment in regards to the gentleman that you just had on.
Philip Gardner,
that
yes.
Was speaking about his alleged encounter with religion and religious groups. Angry, mm-hmm. I'm angry over the fact that he denies the fact that the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ was a real person on this planet. And I want your listeners to know that I and probably many others on this planet have had the opportunity in our lifetime to have visitations from angelic forces like the woman that was just speaking. But I was very fortunate in 1990, and I had a visitation from the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ.
All right, but be fair to Philip. He didn't deny it. He said it is his point of view based on what he studied that Jesus was not a real person as described in the Bible. I think that's pretty much what he said. He didn't deny it for all of us, sir. He just said that's his conclusion.
Art, there are a lot of dark siders that are on the planet at this particular period of time. That man is existing in is a very important time because it's this generation that's going to see the second coming. So you have people like that coming on the air.
Well, why do you believe that? As a matter of interest.
What in the second coming?
That we will, this generation, will get to see the second coming. How can you know that? No man is to know, right?
Number one, like I said, I had a visitation from the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ in 1990. I was told that this was the generation that was coming. The Blessed Virgin Mary that has been appearing in Medjugorje, Herzegovina, for the last 25 years, just in the last 2.5 months, have given messages to the world saying that her son is about to return, and this is the generation that will see him. And out of 25 years, she's never made that statement before. I am here to tell you and your listeners that the Son of God exists, that God exists, the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ exists, and the Holy Spirit exists. And what the Son of God told me that he wanted me to tell the world is that he says, do not be unprepared when I come. And he is coming soon, and he said that in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for a prepared people in one of those mansions. And I tell you, Art, the Son of God exists, And he comes this time as the lion with the authority from the Father to avenge the spilling of his blood. And people should not believe the story that this gentleman was saying. Now,
All right, Spencer, I'm going to have to hold it there, but I appreciate your call, and I'm kind of with you on a number of counts. Number one, I tend to believe that, and I've done an awful lot of study myself, I tend to believe that Jesus was, in fact, a real being. In fact, walked on earth as described. I do believe that. However, I have some questions about this fiery judgment, and see, how can I put this? I guess I can only use my own frame of reference. When we're young, we're kind of stupid. Wisdom comes with age. It really does come with age. And I wonder how a God coming back with that kind of fiery judgment that he talked about could judge an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 25-year-old the same way he could judge a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old, somebody who had been around long enough to begin to collect some wisdom and straighten out their life. Many people are not given the opportunity to do that. So there could not be a single frame of reference for a judgment of the kind he talked about. Or maybe there could. I'm not that godlike, so I don't really know. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, sir.
That's good. I thought I'd call in and since it's open lines, and see what you thought about the walk-in experience.
The walk-in experience, is that correct?
The walk-in experience. Uh-huh.
You mean, okay, well, you tell me what you think.
Okay. Walk-in experience is when you have a very traumatic experience in your life, and basically have a near-death experience, and then when you come to, you're a totally different person. You know, you have a totally different life's experience from that point on.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I guess my question about that has always been and is now. Let's say you have the fortunate people who have had NDEs, as you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
When you have a near-death experience, you frequently have a complete life review. And as you point out, people coming out of that are frequently completely different people. They are suddenly looking at their own life. They're suddenly contemplating God and contemplating doing the righteous thing. And here's what I've always wondered about, sir. It's what about all the millions of people who are not given this opportunity for life review and for changing their life for the better? What about all of those people? They're in the majority, right?
Not particularly.
Yes, they are. More people.
Life experience. The experience is a totally different, like you've lived before. Okay. And you assume through agreement to change places with someone, and from that experience forward, you realize who you are and who you have been in the past life.
You're losing me a little bit now. You said NDE. Now, more people than not have not had NDEs.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Well, that's what I would term it, so that you understand what I'm talking about. But it's not the known accepted experience of an NDE.
Okay, I'm still not quite following, I guess, what you're saying. If you have an NDE, frequently, as I mentioned, you have a full life review, and you have an opportunity to change your life for the better. Now, you're definitely in the minority, right? You're not in the majority. Very few people come back from NDEs. Well, few people, first of all, have NDEs,
right.
So have that opportunity to correct their life. The majority of people don't have that chance.
It's basically, it's fulfilling what you were in a past life.
Reincarnation.
Life for you, yes, it is. But it's a review of the past life that you lived, Do you understand?
Yes, I do. I understand. I understand the concept, sir, of reincarnation.
Okay. Yeah.
But again. Let me hit this again. I firmly understand the concept of reincarnation. That is to say that in lifetime after lifetime, and this was apparently once in the Bible, into the Council of Nicaea, right? We are given the opportunity to move toward perfection when, in essence, we are then told we graduate and we no longer have to come back as mortal beings. That's the way I've always heard it. What has bothered me about the concept is that without the opportunity to consciously recall what we have experienced in a previous life, how is it to benefit us? In what way are we benefited by past lives that we cannot remember? In what way are we to correct our lives? I hope you all are following me. I've always wondered about this. I don't deny that it might be possible, but it would take some extraordinary means to understand what we had done in a previous life and therefore correct it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. My name is Chris, and I'm calling from Sonoma. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine, Chris.
I've had the Kundalini up in my body for about 16 years now, and I can tell you from a very different vantage point than Philip, how it feels and what happens consistently all the time.
By all means.
At the initial activation point, it'll start in the tailbone, and that tailbone will start to pulse, or it will start to collect a lot of heat. As the heat builds, a pressure will build, and at a certain point, the Kundalini will sweep up the spine, go up to the top of the head, expand at the top of the head, and sometimes come down to the brow points, which would be right between the eyebrows. What this is a tremendous experience. It's much, much more than an out-of-body experience. It amplifies every part of the human nature. It'll amplify your fears. It'll amplify your loves. It'll amplify the errors that you're making in life.
Mm-hmm.
And the other caller that called up regarding Jesus, when you have this experience, the veil that separates the realities is somewhat thinned, somewhat lifted. And I do teach the Kundalini. I've been able to awaken Kundalini in other people using certain practices.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Chris.
Sure.
If you've had that experience, the difficulty that I had with it, Chris, was that while I can apply certain words to it, like all-knowing and this incredible, joyous experience, I can't answer any specific questions, any universal questions that none of us are really able to deal with here on Earth, you know, about God or about our creation or about, you know, all these big questions that we all want to know about. If I knew them in that instant, Chris, I don't know them now. Do you?
Ask a question.
All right. Was the Big Bang, as science describes it, something that was that came from the hand of God?
The Big Bang didn't occur as science describes it. What occurred is science has come to a point where they have been able to...
Listen to me, Chris. Hold on during the break. I'm going to bring you back. This is Coast to Coast AM.